Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 2. And if you will forgive us because of the weather outside and we want to get people home before it freezes too badly and with the icy roads and everything else, we are even going to abbreviate this message a little bit. However, for those of you who have heard the Millennial Kingdom series, this is going to be one of the messages within that. That remember that in the book of Isaiah, quite a bit is said about the Millennial Kingdom, and I would like to show you today some passages that are woven together in the book of Isaiah concerning a specific topic of Jerusalem being the capital of the Millennial Kingdom. Notice with me, if you don't mind, and look with me in Isaiah chapter number 2. Isaiah and chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2, and notice with me, if you don't mind, in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, and notice with me in verse 3, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And with this, we're going to explore the Isaiah passages that speak about Jerusalem being the capital of the Millennial Kingdom. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And we thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God who loves us, who cares for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here safely here tonight. And we're asking that that you would allow us to be able to get home safely as well in the midst of the ice and the snow and the precipitation and everything. We can trust you. As for now, help us to be able to look at you and your word and glorify your name, seeing what a wonderful God that we serve. Help us even now. In your precious name we pray. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, we know that the Assyrian Empire is threatening all of the region. And there have been several times in the book of Isaiah where Jerusalem was threatened by outside forces. Jerusalem was threatened by enemies. So because of that, God had put an emphasis in the book of Isaiah to remind him that this is a place that God has placed his name upon, and that God still has a purpose and a plan for this city yet in the future. We know that in our future, we are looking forward to an event called the Millennial Kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus himself physically, bodily, literally, will come back to this earth, and he will establish his worldwide kingdom. And we find in the Bible, especially in these Isaiah passages, that the capital city of Jesus's world empire is going to be Jerusalem. Notice with me in this Isaiah chapter 2 text. Notice with me in verse number 2. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. the Bible gives in several other passages that the whole topography, the whole geography of this area is going to be drastically changed when Jesus Christ comes back. The Bible gives in Zechariah and gives us in Ezekiel how all of the topography is going to change, and Jerusalem's going to be rose up to the top of the mountains and going to be from this place Jesus is going to rule the world. Verse number 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Here it's putting an emphasis that here it's going to be the capital city, and people are going to look to Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, for all of their information. For example, today in America, the United States, Washington is our center of government. And so you may see a news report. We're waiting outside of the White House and seeing if we have news from Washington, carrying the idea that it's from the Capitol the news is going to come from. In the millennial kingdom, that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, and then whenever something happens and whenever a problem needs to be taken care of, that we're going to go to the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, from the capital of all of it, and we're going to hear what they say in the capital to tell us what's going to happen, how they're going to solve this. That people are going to be waiting for the word of the Lord from the headquarters of Jerusalem. Notice in verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. Here it carries the idea that Jesus is going to be the perfect ruler of this. And he's going to be such a perfect ruler that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. As Jesus Christ is ruling from Jerusalem, it's going to be a land of peace, so much so that they're going to take their machines and instruments of warfare, and they're going to repurpose them into machines and tools for peace, because the land will know war no more. It will be a land of peace because Jesus Christ is going to have a perfect government and ruling the entire world. Well, this isn't the only passage that speaks about the capital city of being Jerusalem inside of the book of Isaiah. If you could forgive me, I'm going to drop the rest of the passages, and we're just going to look at Isaiah passages. Notice, if you don't mind, a second thing. Jerusalem will bring honor to God. Jerusalem will bring honor to God. With that, turn with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. So we started at the beginning of Isaiah. As we go to the end of Isaiah, we could see that once again, this same theme is brought up. Isaiah 62, that Jerusalem is going to be the capital of this millennial kingdom. And in here, we're going to see that Jerusalem will bring honor to God. Notice with me in Isaiah 62 and verse 1. For Zion's sake. Now, Zion is a poetical term that refers to God's ideal place of Jerusalem, God's ideal people living in his ideal city. So for Zion, whenever you see Zion, it is again a poetical form for Jerusalem. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and salvation therefore as a lamp that burneth. Here it's using poetical language, explaining how Jerusalem will be the place where God is brought honor by the salvation he offers. Verse 2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Here we could see that the Gentiles will look at Jerusalem, and that they will acknowledge God's glory there. Verse 3, and thou shalt be a crown. Who's the thou? That's Jerusalem. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Here we can see that Jerusalem is the crown that God wears. It is the picture of what God can do when something is left in his hands, what he could transform something to. Verse number 4 and 5, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be any more termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and the land shall be married. This is a picture of a wedding day. And as the bride is coming down, the groom is excited to see his bride. Shouldn't that be how it works? That when the groom is looking for the bride, he's not looking anywhere else. He's looking at the bride. It's the bride that's coming. His whole attention is on the bride. The word Hephzibah means my delight is in her. So he's looking at the bride and said, oh, she's so beautiful. She's so gorgeous. She's all mine. I'm fixing to get married. This is wonderful. His attention is just on her. And God is giving this picture about how important and dear Jerusalem is to God. That all of his attention at this time is poured upon his bride of Israel. Remember, God's bride is Israel, and specifically Jerusalem as the capital. His eyes are just on the bride. Notice again in verse number 5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Again, referring to Jerusalem. Notice with me in verse 6, I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Here it says that God will not rest until people look at Jerusalem and say, look at what God did. God has great plans for this city yet in our future. Verse number 8. The Lord is sworn by his right hand, by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give corn to be meat for thine enemies. The son of thy stranger shall not drink thy wine for that which thou have labored, but thou that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of thy holiness. Here it's speaking about that unsaved heathen people will not take away the land and what rightfully belongs to Jerusalem. Now, of course, even today, that's a big deal that the borders of Jerusalem and Israel have constantly changed as they had set borders and then people would try to nip away and take it away. And even today, it is still a big deal where they are trying to take away the borders of Jerusalem and Israel. But one day, that's not going to be so. Won't that be a relief to the Hebrew people that they don't have to worry about these people trying to take away the land that was promised to them? Verse number 10, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. We know that today Jerusalem is not treated well, but in that day of the millennial kingdom, Jerusalem will be exalted. Well, again, as I said before, that Isaiah is full of these millennial kingdom passages, and not just millennial kingdom passages, but passages that are specifically dedicated to Jerusalem being the capital. It starts off in Isaiah chapter 2. It's continued in Isaiah 62. But once again, there is another passage that talks about Jerusalem being the capital and being special to God. With that, turn with me to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, and if you don't mind, Isaiah 26, and this is where we're going to land. Isaiah 26, and notice with me in Isaiah 26, let's see that Jerusalem will be protected by God. We know that Jerusalem is going to be the center of his kingdom rule, that Jerusalem will bring honor to God, but here we see that Jerusalem will be protected by God. Isaiah 26, so notice with me in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that righteous nation which keepeth truth shall enter in. And thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In this passage here, it says that God is going to protect Jerusalem at this time, but it also says, and we could refer and understand the same thing, just like God is going to protect Jerusalem, God also promised to protect us. How is it that God is going to protect Jerusalem the same way that he's going to protect us? Notice that first of all, he's going to protect us with salvation. He's going to protect us with salvation. Notice with me verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. Now, in modern days, walls are not a big deal. But in the ancient world, walls were very much a big deal. And God is saying, just like walls served as a protection for those ancient cities, today, God is protecting us with salvation. What do you mean by that? Well, we know that all of our sins that we've committed, we deserve punishment from God. And that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for our sins and to pay for all of the price that we owed to God. And that we had to personally come to the place where we accepted Jesus as our Savior. Now, you may have discovered that after you got saved, you still have the capacity for sin.
Amen.
And because of those sins, we still deserve hell. Well, if we deserve hell, why aren't we going there? Because God has protected us with salvation. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died not just for my past sins, but my future ones as well. That Jesus has paid all of my price. And that even though I deserve to go to hell, I am not going there because God has protected me. He has given me this assurance that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. The book of John chapter 10 says this, that God has placed us into Jesus' hand and no man can pluck him out. In addition, he has also placed us in God's hand and no man can pluck us out. We're double protected. We are protected. We can never lose our salvation, misplace our salvation, throw away our salvation, because it's God that protects us, not us. Now, that doesn't give us permission to sin, but in fact, it's the opposite. It should cause us to sin less and less. My little children, these things write I unto you, that if any man sin, or that ye sin not, if any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, I'm so thankful that God recognizes our frame, that we're nothing but dust, and he protects us with salvation. We see another way that God protects Jerusalem that he also protects us with. Notice with me in verse 2, Isaiah 60 or 26, verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. How is it that God protects Israel, Jerusalem specifically, and protects us? He protects us with truth. Protects us with truth. We live in a time and a world where we have lots of information and very little truth. And yet it is truth that protects us. It protects us from being deceived. It protects us from people fooling us. It protects us from when we try to lie to ourselves. Have you ever lied to yourself? Have you ever convinced yourself that something was true when it was not? It is the Bible that gives us a foundation of truth. It is the Bible that protects us. This is why it's so important for us to be faithful and get to know our Bible, because we cannot be deceived if we know truth. In fact, the first law of compulsory education in America was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. It was created when there were still colonies. And in this law, it stated this, that children need to be taught to read at an early age. Why? Because if they are able to read, they could read the Bible. And if there is a people that know the Bible, the atrocities that happen in Europe, such as the Inquisition and the Crusades, they cannot happen to a people who know the truth. Those people in the colony days understood why it's so important. We need to teach people to read and teach them to read for themselves so they could read the Bible for themselves. If people can't read or if it's painful for them to read, they are dependent on someone else to tell them what the Bible says. And in that case, you're in a very dangerous position because people can lie to you. People can be wrong. People can be mistaken. People can lead you astray. You need to be able to read the Bible and understand it for yourself because you are protected by truth. That God's people, when they're tied into God's word, cannot be deceived by lies of the government, by lies of philosophy, by lies of so-called science, by law, by the anything else that comes out there. We are protected by truth. Notice, if you don't mind, there is a third thing here, and it says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Notice there's an adjective there, not just to keep us in peace, but perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Do you know that God promised to protect us with peace? Whenever we're not in peace, we're vulnerable to our own emotions, and your emotions can lie to you. Amen. That is when we are at peace, because we're trusting in God and depending upon him, that God gives us a wonderful protection. And when is it that our mind is at perfect peace? When our mind is stayed upon thee. One of the big things we're going to put in emphasis this year is the names of God. Why? Because we want to keep our minds on him. Keep thinking about him. That's the perfect peace. Perfect peace doesn't come when all my bills are paid. Perfect peace doesn't come when nobody's fighting at home. Perfect peace comes when my mind is stayed on him. I'm thinking about him, not just on Sundays, but on Mondays, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday mornings, that my mind is stayed on him. And that I can have perfect peace. And that's another way that God protects us. What a wonderful God that we serve. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you for all that you do, all that you care for us. Thank you for watching us, guarding us, and protecting us. Lord, I'm asking that you would draw us close to you even now. And in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.